Welcome back, everybody. This is Comics. And yes, I have a lisp, and that's okay because this is our Halloween episode. So you will be seeing some of us in costume, not all of us, but that's okay because, you know, it's okay. That's all right. So this week, I am your host. I am Esteban. And we're going to go, like, as I said, we are diving into episode 55 this week. Let's go ahead and go around the room and let's go ahead. I mean, you know, everybody, but we all know you want to hear their voices. So on to the next.
Hi, I'm Carmen.
Hello, I'm Wayne Static, also known as Luis.
I'm Andres.
All right. So Ash is not here yet. He should be here soon. And money has it that he's probably going to dress up as Amelia Earhart again, or Gambit, which one of the two, you know, we'll find out soon enough. But I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Luis. Yes, sir. Luis.
Quick question, even though you were throwing it over to me. Question for the rest of the group. Am I the only one that hears Adam Sandler with his little lisp with his teeth? I'm hearing an Adam Sandler sound to his voice. No,
I'm sure everybody. I'm sure everybody in the comments will go ahead and comment to see if I do sound like Adam Sandler.
Let us know. I hear it.
You hear it. Captain Insano shows no mercy.
There it is.
Luis, sir, are our drink of the week. What are you drinking today, amigo?
Yes, sir. So today we've got the beautiful Rogue Bat Squatch right there. Ooh. Bam. Dare, risk, and dream. It is a hazy IPA and it is quite lovely. What's interesting about this beer is as I was reviewing the can, it tells you like the different tastes of like tropical, citrus, malt, bitter, and pine. And it has like a little graph of where it's at. And it also has a little like descriptor at the bottom of what you can pair it with. Pair it with white cheddar, grilled salmon, or strawberry shortcake to make it go well. So I'm going to read the little back of Bat Squatch. And we got, for years, rumors have circled the deep woods of Mount St. Helens lives the fabled Bat Squatch. While there are many tales of Bat Squatch, they're all a bit hazy on the details, which makes this truth such juicy mystery. So what better way to honor the legend than with a hazy, juicy IPA? Perfect for camping and potentially making a new friend. And, Bat Squatch. It's very smooth. I like it a lot. I strongly recommend it.
Right. Where'd you pick it up at?
I picked it up at BevMo.
Nice. Okay. Very, very cool.
Are you sure?
All right.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to forget the name. It's BevMo.
All right. And let's see. Recommendation. We had a recommendation last week. Andres was actually out, so I ended up throwing his recommendation towards to Luis. But first, I want to go ahead and congratulate Andres on your newly nuptials, my friend.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody, cheers to Andres.
Cheers, Andres.
Cheers. Thank you.
In the name of love.
Ooh. So Andres actually ended up recommending Battlestar Galactica to Luis, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure did.
Luis, how was it? Was it punchy?
It was punchy. It was punchy. Battlestar Galactica is very fascinating in the sense that it came out a ways ago, but there was a show that you recommended to me, Esteban, Falling Skies. And the thing that I complained about Falling Skies was I got taken out of the CGI.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica, quite the opposite. Like, I was very much impressed considering how old it was. And it's a lot of the stuff pretty, like, really did hold up. Like, it was a lot of imagination type stuff. Like, the actors are the ones that are, like, moving when things happen on the ship. And, like, you'll see a small little CGI something to kind of get the creative imagination juices flowing, but then after that, it's all on you. In short, I'm a big fan of sci-fi, and I'm a big fan of like the Navy, Space Navy Academy. So I was really big into Halo. I was really big the Halo video game series and obviously Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is that I didn't realize how much influence this show had on that, like the Naval Fleet and the way that they conduct, the way that they're the way they talk about stuff. And so I've read books and stuff. Like I went pretty heavy nerd on it.
Oh,
and watching the show, I'm like, oh, like it's so easy to see where the inspirations came from, which was pretty fun to kind of like see where the roots are. Ultimately, I did like it. There was a lot of actors that I recognized in other nerd projects. Mm-hmm. Little fun fact, one of the he might play a bigger role in episode 3, but like one of the like nobody crew members, mm-hmm. Is a young Starkiller in Force Unleashed, Darth Vader.
Oh, Sam Witwer?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, holy shit. Like, and it was just, it was like little fun things like that. And it's funny how like nerd, like these pop culture actors, they stuck mm-hmm. with their roots and, you know, so anyway, ultimately I liked it. It is something that I'm going to continue to watch. I'm going to have it probably not like a dedicated, I can't wait to come home to watch it, but
sorry to cut you off, but there will be a time, not yet, maybe not next season either, but there is going to be a time when that show, you'll get dragged in really hard and you're going to be like, oh my God, I have to get home and binge the shit out of this.
Really? So
when you get there, you'll get there and you'll know what I mean.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
You got some to do before then.
I'm gonna have it on as background noise, which is what I've been doing with What We Do in the Shadows. I just got into that show. Wonderful show, solid recommendation. I would give it only because the first episode, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, this is a continuation off of a show that came out in the 90s, Battlestar Galactica,
came out in the 70s, and it's basically a remake, reimagining.
Oh, okay. Because they made it seem like previously on, but it was like episode 1. I was like, previously on what? Like, what are you talking about? And so I even paused it to look. I'm like, did I pull up the wrong episode? But
right,
it was like, oh, this shit happened. And then play. Like, they set it up so that it can get us right into some action and stuff. But I would say 7 out of 10 for now.
Okay.
Just the first 2 episodes was just kind of like setting a foundation. But it's enough of a foundation where it feels solid. And I want to keep traveling.
Right on. Very cool.
Recommendation.
Nice. Okay. Very cool. So since I'm host this week, it's my turn to go ahead and do a recommendation. I am going to recommend a movie this time. And Luis, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you some more homework. Okay.
Son of a bitch. I'm just kidding.
Oh, and the only reason why is because I know since you didn't see Reservoir Dogs, I'm hoping you haven't seen this movie either. Okay. It is an older movie. A movie came out in 95. Mm-hmm. It's a horror movie. Okay.
I'm intrigued.
Okay. And God, I really hope you haven't seen it yet. The Prophecy.
The Prophecy. Well, what actors are in it?
Christopher Walken.
No, definitely haven't. I've seen, the reason I know of it is because I remember going to Blockbuster Video and seeing it on the shelf, but I never picked it up and watched it. But okay, The Prophecy. What's it on?
It's on Peacock. It's on Peacock.
Peacock. You got it.
Okay. I know you're not going to be here next episode, which is fine. No big deal. So I want to hear, because this is our Halloween episode, and since Halloween is right around the corner, I want to see what you think. If you can spot a very young actor who has a very small role in that movie, but that role is extremely, like, it for me, it's memorable. Like, like when I think of The Prophecy, I think of this actor, even though his role is extremely small in the film.
Okay.
So yeah, The Prophecy on Peacock. If anybody wants to watch it or wants to go ahead and watch a horror movie for Halloween, I highly recommend The Prophecy. Came out in 95 with a very young Christopher Walken. And it is one of those movies that kind of like continued with the series. But the first 2, I think, are the best. With the very first one is just fantastic. So check it out.
I'll check it out. Small segue. I believe Andres had last week's recommendation where he was going to talk about something recommended to him. Am I wrong?
What?
Didn't someone recommend something to you, but you weren't here that show, so we decided to save it for the next time?
Totally blanking. Totally.
It was
High Fidelity.
High Fidelity.
Oh, I sent my review. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, you did. Estevan read it. Sorry, I forgot about that, because I remember we were on the fence of that. Screeching Halt is my fault.
No. It's all right. It stays with you. It stays with you. It stays with you with comments. Back to you, Luis.
Back to me. All right, so comments. So this is the part of the show where we like to showcase you guys, and want to say again, thank you for all the love and the subscriptions, and it's not lost on us. We recently hit a new milestone, and it couldn't have been possible without your guys' help. We got 10,000 eyeballs that clicked on our stuff. So
there's human eyeballs.
Yeah, human eyeballs.
In the refrigerator as we speak.
In my pocket. So we don't even it's not lost on us that what we do here, and we say it every week, but when we speak in this group, we don't know if it just falls into the void and no one gives a shit, but clearly there is something there. So thank you everybody for all your participation. And this is the part of the show where you can send us a comment, shoot us an email, and we will read it and we will discuss. So kicking it off with Heavyweight. And this is on episode 54. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe shortly after Four Loko came out, they had to change the drink to make it less potent. People were getting fucked up off of it if you drank it like drinking a Zima. I think he's right. I think I remember. I mean, it could have been a fucking urban myth, but I remember something about like some kids dying from drinking it.
Yeah. I think... And I mean, for those that know me, I'm very tall. I'm a tall guy. I'm a bit on the heavier side. And one of those, I didn't even finish one of them. I drank a quarter of them and I was done. I was done. They were fucking potent. And it was so bad. So bad. So, but yeah, I know that, Heavyweight's right. They're not as potent anymore. Now they're a little bit more on the tamer side.
Okay.
I believe easy, it. Honda.
And then our next comment, last but definitely not least, Vanessa Ayala, keeping it strong. Chilaquiles! Exclamation point. Haha, just kidding. Four Locos are dangerous, though. Melissa and I have some stories of back in the day, Four Locos, and was just another drink called Josue? Jose? Same thing, different flavors. Oh, juice?
Yeah.
Juice?
Yeah. Because after you drank it, you were like, I want some more juice.
Juice? I've never had juice. I've had Four Locos.
It's the same thing.
Shit'll get you drunk. Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
But again, thank you guys for the love, and keep the comments coming. A like, a subscription, like us, subscribe us. Costs nothing to you, means everything to us. And again, we love you, we appreciate you. And back to you, so.
All right, thank you, sir. Again, just to reiterate what Luis said, we are extremely grateful for the milestone that we hit on YouTube. Keep it coming. Share, like, subscribe. We appreciate all of it, especially the comments. Let's go ahead and jump into the show. And last week, Carmen actually gave us a little bit of homework for this week. So if you may or may not know, every Wednesday we end up updating a playlist that Andres curates. It's a playlist that you can find on Spotify. If you guys are looking for it, there's a link in our bio on our Instagram. Go to our Instagram, click on the link. It'll take you straight to our Spotify playlist. And every week, all of us go ahead and throw in a song to go ahead and update the playlist. This week, Carmen decided to go ahead and change it up, and she wanted us to pick a song that makes us extremely emotional as soon as the song starts playing. So it either makes us sad, makes us cry, or emotional, you know, altogether. So with that, Carmen, let's go ahead and kick it off with you. For those that don't know, what song was yours?
Oh, all right. Before you start talking, you want us to all cry, bitch?
I have to put those posts up while at work. I have to go into people's houses all swollen dyed. See, what the fuck?
So, yeah. Well, the idea actually, when we were talking last time, came from the fact that that show High Fidelity talks about playlists and how important playlists are, especially when you're going through some stuff or how you're dealing with emotions. And I don't know why that there's a certain playlist that I have that I know as soon as I hit play, it's going to be Waterworks all throughout. So it hardly gets played, but there's some gems in there. So that's what prompted the idea. So the song that I picked for this week is a Spanish song. It's a Spaniard singer-songwriter called Luis Perales. And the song is called Y Cómo Es Él. And so the title translates to Who Is He or How Is He? And the song just basically talks about, it's a conversation that a father is having with his daughter. And it's a conversation that is the father asking his daughter, you know, I know that you've met a man and I know that this person is stealing you away from me. And it isn't the fact that I'm sad that he's stealing you away from me, but is he worth it? Like, is he a good man? Is he the man that's going to hold your sweater, the one that's going to walk you to your door, the one that's going to care for you? And I just, that song really hits a spot for me because my grandpa used to sing it to me. And, you know, he would tell me that one day he was going to be able to meet the man that would be worth to be in my life forever. And unfortunately, he never got that luxury, but I know wherever he is, he can see it now. I'm extremely happy in the relationship I'm in, and the song just really hits that spot. So it's a beautiful song. If you don't speak Spanish, you can find the translation of the lyrics. I recommend you read them because it's genuinely a treasure of a song. I know there's fathers here, and I don't know if you read it or read the lyrics, but I think it definitely hits the spot. So yeah, that was my song. Sorry, I got teary eyed.
That's fucking beautiful.
But cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Luis.
Oof.
All your right. Turn.
Mine is here we go. Don't cry. this is your fault, Esteban. He did this to us. So the song that
Carmen I picked, and myself, so yeah.
the song that I picked is by none other than Slipknot. The song title is called Snuff. And what I related to this song is the beautiful thing about music is the lyrics can mean something to you versus what the writer of the song intended it to mean. And so this is very much a love song, but there's a couple verses that resonate with me with my own life. A little bit about me is when I was 18 years old, there were really bad circumstances that my mother was losing her house. And so I quit school. I started working full time because she had told me that all these bad things were happening in her life. And so I really wanted to be, I wanted to step up and I wanted to be like, hey, you've looked out for me. Let me look out for you. And so I quit school, started working full time. Within a month of that happening, she tells me that she's moving to Mexico. At this point, though, I've already signed a 2-year lease. I already, at that time, burned bridges with my dad because he was telling me not to do the things that I was going to do. But I'm like, you don't understand. That's my mom. And so it turned into this huge friction. And she knew everything that I was doing to make this possible for her. But she had already made her decision. She just didn't tell me what the decision was. And so I felt a little bit betrayed. But this song... The two verses I'm going to read to you guys is, so if you love me, let me go, run away before I know, My heart is just too dark to care. I can't destroy what isn't there. Deliver me into my fate. If I'm alone, I cannot hate. I don't deserve to have you. My smile was taking long ago. If I can change, I hope I never know. And the song gets deeper. But whenever I hear that song, like, I think when everything was happening, that song, I would put it on and my brain went to like a music video of my life. I don't know if you guys ever do that when you're like listening to a song, if it resonates to a certain part.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, it's like a highlight reel of all the most horrible shit that ever happened, Luis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just fucking hit. So now when I hear the opening chord, it's on my like playlist in Spotify. I skip it unless you need a good cry. You know, sometimes you do, but for the most part, I skip it, but love the song, the song. But yeah, that's my pick.
All right. Andres.
So I'm going to be short. I picked Morrissey, Seasick, yeah, Still Docked, and you get no story from me. I am not as brave as my other two co-hosts. Yep. Sorry. You're not that close to me to know me as well. You do them apparently. So that's all you get.
Hey, that's cool, man. That's all good.
You like some intrigue.
That, it leaves Andres as the mystery man.
El misterioso. So,
You go. That's perfect. So mine, I have two. And one of them started early on when I was probably about in the sixth grade. Sixth grade, I ended up losing my grandma at a very young age. She was actually only in her 60s when she passed away. So she passed away pretty young. And to this day, if I hear the opening chord or the opening trumpets of this Spanish song, it's over. Like, I'm done. Like, I have to walk out of the room. It's played a lot during Mother's Day. And there have been a couple of times where the song is played. Like, I've gone to breakfast with my parents and my wife and the song starts to play. I have to get up and walk out because I can't handle it. The name of the song is Amor Entero.
Oh, God, that song.
Yeah, they played that. They played that song at my grandma's funeral twice. Once at the church and once as they were lowering her in her casket. Okay, so I got that twice. Okay, the other one, which is more, is I guess more recent, and a lot of people probably don't understand why. The most recent one is Hallelujah, but it was a cover from the Pentatonix. Okay, so the way that it goes, it was December, I've never really talked about this out loud. So it was December and it was my wife's birthday. And that day we found out that we were expecting baby number two. It was a bit rough in the morning, but she said she was okay, went to work. Probably around lunchtime, she said she wasn't feeling good. She wasn't going to go to the doctor, so she went to the doctor. Next thing I know, I get a phone call from my mom, and she said, you need to go to the hospital as soon as possible. So here I am. Essentially, I work at a financial institution, and at the time, I didn't have a branch manager, so I had to close the branch by myself, so I couldn't leave until my shift was over because it was only myself and one other person. So I closed the branch and I jumped in my car and I was flying on the freeway, probably going about 85, 90 miles an hour, 95 miles an hour, trying to get to Kaiser. The whole time it's December and it's the holiday season and I can't get away from this fucking song. Every radio station that I flip to, it's that song. Over and over and over and over again. Needless to say, I got to the hospital. Unfortunately, we lost the baby. And yeah, didn't hear that song until after our second was born, after our my youngest was born, because he is difficult to put to bed when he was really young. So I put on a playlist on Apple Music just to kind of soothe him, and sure enough, that goddamn song came on. And as soon as that song came on, he fell asleep. The entire time that he, as I was holding him, rocking him to sleep, and that song was playing, he knocked out. And that whole time I was just bawling, but like trying to keep it in so I don't wake him up. So there's that. So that is mine. And we brought the show to a screeching halt, and that's fantastic.
No. That's adorable. There's a lot there.
Yeah. So it's, I still can't listen to the song. Anyways, moving on.
Very, very, very small segue, and this for all of us, even the ones that, looking at you, Andres, didn't want to share. We can all agree the power of music. And I think that's probably, if I can, not to put words in Andres's mouth, but that's my feeling on why he wanted to create this playlist of, like, it's a window into who we are as people and, you know, and what that song means to each of us. And I put on the playlist today. That is a very, very wide net of music that is on that thing. But I love it, man. It's so great. It's, yeah, it's so great. If you haven't listened to it, guys, I strongly recommend on Spotify. Check it out. It's comics playlist, is what it's called.
I believe so. Yeah.
What we're listening to, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Podcast. What we're listening to.
Comics podcast. What we're listening to.
Our IG bio.
There it is. Check it out, guys.
Yep. If you guys want to go ahead and give us some recommendations, so we can go and throw into the playlist.
Or if I can challenge for anyone listening, if there's a song that absolutely just captivates you every single time, let us know what that song is. And if you want to provide a brief something, you can. If not, don't have to. Just say this song every fucking time, you know, and then we'll talk about it on the next episode.
All right. So moving on to the show, let's go ahead. And hey, did you guys know when Robert Pattinson ended up auditioning for the Batman, he wore Val Kilmer's batsuit?
Saw that. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Did you guys also know that Christian Bale wore the same bat suit when he auditioned for Batman?
No.
What? Yeah.
There is actual footage of behind the scenes where Christian Bale is actually wearing the bat suit and running a few lines in rehearsal. So you actually see Christian Bale in the Val Kilmer bat suit. I thought that was actually pretty cool. I'm kind of hoping that we somehow see, you know, Robert Pattinson in that Val Kilmer bat suit. But the Val Kilmer, the Christian Bale one was really good. He kept the same. Well, obviously it was because it was the first movie. He kept the pretty normal Batman voice before he switched over to his metal voice.
Yeah.
Or it sounds like he's just barking the entire time.
It's Tim Allen. Yeah.
So I thought that was actually pretty cool. And I believe the only reason why Christian Bale wore the Val Kilmer one is because Val Kilmer and Christian Bale are both 6 foot or 6'1". And the Michael Keaton's only like 5'9 or 5'11. So obviously you couldn't fit into that bat suit. So that's the reason why he had to wear the Val Kilmer one.
Cillian Murphy auditioned as Batman also, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did. That's interesting. And yeah.
He became Scarecrow.
Yeah, I think that's awesome because if you guys didn't know, Tom Hiddleston auditioned for Thor. And he even went as far as dyeing his hair blonde for the audition. So there's actual footage of him with his blonde hair with Mjolnir. You okay, Carmen? Were you picturing him with the blonde hair?
I was, actually.
I saw you kind of looking up in the corner like, oh, Tom Hiddleston with blonde hair. So
I'm going to have to go search for those images.
Oh, no, there's video. Oh, there's video. Oh,
got it.
Yeah, and I think I also think he's not wearing his shirt, so there's that.
Hell yeah. Oh, even better. We're waiting on a reaction from Carmen, not me.
I was. Not from you, Luis.
Fuck yeah.
But speaking of Robert Pattinson, if any of you did not see it, the Batman has a new trailer. The trailer, I was fucking impressed by that trailer. Like, it blew my mind, that trailer. Like, I was extremely excited by it. I mean, what did everybody else think?
Two thumbs way up.
Way up. Do you believe in DC now? Or is it just, or do we just believe in Matt Reeves? Is it Matt Reeves we trust?
I believe in Batman, man. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hate to say I don't believe in DC. I've been fighting batting for him for a while, but this one looks like a step in the right direction with Flash coming. It looks like the soft reboot that it needs by bringing in the Flashpoint. Like, and it's like a good goodbye to everything. So I'm intrigued. I'm excited to see what this brings.
All right, Carmen.
I loved it. I love to see the images of Zoe as Catwoman. I like both of them together. I was excited for it from the beginning, but I was still unsure of Robert Pattinson as Batman. I knew he was going to do a good portrayal, but I mean, you always have his portrayal of Edward Cullen in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to be unfair and say like that's what I was picturing. But the more trailers we see, the more I could see how he's really getting into the character that is Batman. So I even liked the image that we got, because I don't think we had seen him as Bruce yet. And I really dug the way he looked. So I like it. I'm excited for it.
No, I agree. Andres?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to watch it. The trailer was good. Like Carmen said, I was looking forward to it in the beginning. I didn't so much doubt Robert Pattinson as it. I was just eager to see his portrayal of it. And to answer your question, if you think DC's back, I don't know. How about we just take it a film at a time before we start be like, oh, we were Marvel again. So let's just, that goes.
Right on. Very, very cool.
One small thing. It does look like it's taking influence from the Long Halloween and Year Zero. So what it looks exciting is that he looks like a rookie. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's much younger than the Batman before him, but it's like, it's that era when he's taken out the mob bosses and this is happening. Like, I'm super excited to see him have his failures and to be intellectually challenged by the Riddler, because that would really set, you know, him being the great detective. Like,
right.
Oh my God. So much potential there. Anyway, that's all.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, the way that he's being set up as this new Batman, and that this Batman is supposed to be more of a thriller detective type movie. I mean, I don't think that any, you know, Batman movie has honed in on his detective skills like this one. I mean, we got a little bit in The Dark Knight Rises, or The Dark Knight, I'm sorry, but when he was doing all the like the ballistics and stuff with the Joker and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But other than that's all we really got. I mean, you know, even the Michael Keaton one, we really didn't see any detective skills on there. Yeah. You know, you got a little bit with Val Kilmer when he was going toe to toe with the Riddler, you know. But other than that was it, you know. But yeah, Luis, you're right. It looks like they're pulling from the Long Halloween as well as Year Zero, you know. So I think, like you said, seeing him as a rookie, seeing him how he's going to evolve, or what he could evolve into, it's like the sky's the limit for this film. So I'm pretty excited about that. We also got the Flash teaser along with some behind the scenes. Again, you know, Carmen, how do you feel about this Flash movie that's going to be coming out?
I want to say concerned, but I don't feel like concern is the correct word. I feel like they're putting too much into this movie as far as like, this is going to be what, like, resets everything, or like everything is making sense. And then I just feel like that's somewhat of a tall order, you know what I mean? And I mean, because then if you're setting fans expectations of that and then you don't deliver on that, then it's a little bit problematic. But I mean, am I excited to see the movie? Yes. Am I excited to see how this is all going to make sense, or how they're claiming it's all going to make sense? Also, yes. But again, I hope it's not too much into one thing and then it doesn't do it justice.
Okay. Right on. Are you a little disappointed that we didn't see Michael Keaton in the bat suit?
No, because I like surprises. You know, like, I want to go enjoy it and see it in a movie theater, or even if I stream it wherever.
Right.
I want to have that experience of like the wow, like, oh shit. Mm. Yeah.
Right on. Okay. Andres?
Last point Carmen made first. I agree with her. I don't want to see it. I'd rather see it in the movie theater. Let us all not see it until people post deals on the first weekend. I think that would be the best way to take a show for it. Show it to us, because we all know and expect it.
Mm-hmm. Just
movie. I guess I agree with Carmen. You're saying, like, okay, like, it's putting a lot on the film, that this is going to be like the reset point going forward to be whatever the new DC cinematic universe blah 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 is going to be.
Right.
Yeah, I guess whatever. I think my whole problem, even when it was announced, is that the Flash just came out in Justice League and you're already doing a Flashpoint. It's really, really on for that, I thought. But I guess with their debacle, whatnot, I guess it makes sense for them to use this to us as a starting over point, I guess. But I'm not expecting much.
Right.
And hopefully surprise, I guess.
Right on. Okay. Luis?
I have my reservations with it, as I do with things that make me happy, as I've shared on the show before.
I tell you've been hurt before.
I've been hurt before. But Carmen nailed it. It's they're setting up Flash on such a pedestal. You're making it almost impossible to be surprised by it, because now we're expecting all these things to happen, and if one of the 10 things we're expecting to happen doesn't happen, there's going to be disappointment. So it almost feels better to go into a movie with no expectations. Mm-hmm. But because Keaton coming back hit headlines, we might feel the same disappointment that we felt in The Force Awakens. When Mark Hamill was coming back, everyone's like, I can't wait to see Mark Hamill. And then we got him for 30 seconds at the end. We don't know how long this Keaton scene's going to be. We don't know if it's a pivotal role. Like, we don't know anything. But now we're setting ourselves up for disappointment of wherever this goes. So I just need to reel myself in. The teaser I thought was cool, that we got to finally see something.
Right.
But I'm gonna hold out. I am excited. Let me rephrase that. I'm cautiously optimistic.
That great choice of words. Me, on the other hand, I am like Michael Scott, and I am ready to get hurt again. So moving on, there was actually some drama that ended up dropping today. Not really drama, more of an eye-opening for former Batwoman actress Ruby Rose. She actually came out today and ended up explaining that the reason why she left Batwoman, to be quite honest, I'm fucking blown away by the bullshit she had to go through. I mean, the way that she was treated, the way that she was pushed into doing things, the way that, you know, I guess the fear for other actors and actresses and stunt women and things like that, or stunt men, that they've kept quiet for this, you know, the fear that they've had to stay quiet. And it's taken, what, how long has it been since she stepped away? What, a year and a half?
More. Yeah. 2 years.
More.
Yeah. Because they're it's the second season with the new Batwoman.
Batwoman
on the helm. Okay, so yeah.
So, about 2 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, so to see everything that she geniusly and rightfully so documented herself, the videos that she's taken, you know, when she went to the doctors, when she ended up hurting her neck and her ribs and stuff, for all this to be documented and the showrunner to be such a fucking asshole, it blows my mind that, you know, she was treated this way. You know what I mean?
I don't want to cut you off.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Can you tell us, and mostly me, because I caught the end of the story. I didn't know exactly what happened. What were the injuries, or like, what is so inflaming that happened?
Well, so essentially it was more of, from what I was able to kind of piece together from the articles that I read, and I actually watching her Instagram story, the injuries that she doing stunts, like she wanted to do the stunts herself. She actually fractured one of her vertebrae and I believe dislocated a rib, you know, doing these stunts. And she had to go to the doctor to do that. And the showrunner was pushing her to, okay, when are you coming back to work? When are you coming back to work? You know?
Or if she didn't come back to work, then the crew and the cast would all get fired and lose their jobs.
So exactly.
Oh my God.
Jesus, to put that on her.
Possible. So these people wouldn't lose out money.
Yeah. So there was that. I think someone, if I was reading her story correctly, someone got hurt to the point that they are now a quadriplegic, you know, on the set. I think someone else ended up breaking one of their arms or a leg or something like that. And it was just like, well, when are you coming back to work? You know, we got to keep going. We got to keep, you know, with this show, you know. And at the start of COVID, all the other shows stopped production. Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, they all stopped production except for Batwoman. They kept going during the peak of COVID. They kept filming. They kept pushing to film. You know, so it was all those work conditions that, you know, she essentially had to step away, like, and for her body to kind of heal as much as possible because of the fractured vertebrae and the dislocated rib and things like that, you know. So now that she's been able to speak up and say something, I'm not sure if anything is going to happen to that specific showrunner, you know, now, you know what I mean? So it's insane that she had, that it had to go, because everyone kept on saying that she left on her own terms, that she had, that she departed because she just wanted to, and she was tired of the role or something along those lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they made it seem like she didn't want to do the role anymore because of, and at some point I think I even read an article, because I was shocked because I like her as an actress. And the article, if I remember correctly, and I'll try to find it, stated that she didn't want the role anymore because there were problems in the set, but not that had to do with any injuries, but it was more of the environment, as her being a bisexual diva? Woman or a lesbian. Yeah, so it was more to do with that aspect of things that the article did. Dictated that. She never spoke out about it, or she never said anything, but that's what the article made it seem. So in my head, like, that's what I thought of why she left the show. And now that you're saying this, like, holy shit, you know, wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and there's actual she actually recorded one of her consultations with her doctor saying, like, showing x-rays of her vertebrae and her rib. Like, even the doctor's like, I have no idea how you did this. You know, like, I've never seen this before. You know, like, her rib was dislocated in a way, and the doctor's just like, how did you do this? I don't know how this could happen. You know?
Oh my God.
So
that's awful.
Yeah. So she posted that to her Instagram story. I mean, who knows who got wind of it, if, you know, the WB got wind of it, or if the showrunner found out about it or what, but it was just one of those things where it was like, it was just insane. It was insane the way that she was just treated on the set, you know?
Yeah. I think WB put a response, and I'm paraphrasing, something like, that there were still reports that she was like, difficult on set to work with, and that they did an internal investigation and found no merit, something along the lines like that. So
that's what WB said.
Yeah.
That she was but that's such a bullshit response. It's like the same way of if two people break up and they ask the guy what happened. Oh, that bitch is crazy. Like, what does that mean? Like, that it is such a, it's such a bullshit response. Like, it'd be so, and that's so sad for them to just say, oh, that actor or actress is difficult to work with, and then it makes it difficult for them to get work after because they decided to stand up for themselves.
It's like the same situation with UB and I can't think of his name.
Ray Fisher?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
WB again. Yeah, this may be their television as opposed to it being their DC films, but
right,
seems to be something wrong in the management of Warner Brothers in general.
I agree. Oh, look at who joined us. It's Slash.
Ayo.
Ayo. What's up, man?
We talking about the Ruby Rose thing?
Yes, sir. You got any thoughts on it?
She was very careful when she first quit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I hope she does a great job and that's awesome. And like very like, I don't want to ruin my shit. But once other people like, that's fucked up. Like you really find out crazy shit. So, I mean, it just also works against, well, I was going to say it also works against how Marvel's treating their people. But last month it was Black Widow, or 2 months ago, or it was Black Widow, right?
It was like 2 or 3 months ago. It was Scarlett Johansson on Black Widow, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's real fucked up that sometimes your studios aren't happy.
Right.
That something's successful, now it becomes, how you say it, they screw over everybody else to make even more money, even though the last 27 movies didn't make as much money.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just saw your teeth. That's dope. Are you going to be a werewolf or is this a vampire?
No, it's a werewolf.
Nice, man. I like it. I should have got with the bottom fangs.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Well, you should see the contacts.
I almost want to not even talk about Luis's fucking hair right now.
He's Wayne Static, bro, from Static X.
Is he really? I thought you were fucking Vegeta, or not Vegeta.
Yeah, no, bro. That's right, Vegeta. But no, I'm Wayne Static. I had my guitar, but I put it.
Sounds filthy. Awesome, Mia Wallace, and nothing. Okay,
and Andres.
Clark Kent, homie, you should have just put on a fucking suit and you'd have been Clark Kent easily.
Sorry, had a long day at work to
put up with that little. You know how sometimes they do that with the ripped shirt open or the just unbuttoned and having the S.
Just you'd have been just fucking, yeah, just come on shirtless, dude. That would have been great.
Yeah, we're gonna get more followers.
That would have been great with Andres without a shirt.
That does suck, and it does suck. I mean, I don't know. All I know is the general highlight. I don't know like the. Within the article, but right. I don't know, man. I don't know why.
I don't know, man. I think it's just one of those things where it's just like, I didn't do enough research to know who the showrunner is. You know what I mean? On Batwoman. But from what it sounds like with him pushing things to keep at work and the show to continue filming, honestly, it sounds like this showrunner is like the first time that they've become a showrunner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is my big break and we can't stop. We got to keep going. You know what I mean?
The dude's pretty old. If you've seen pictures of him.
Oh, fuck that guy then.
Yeah. Sounds like a general creep.
Oh, that one fucker should.
Old school dudes. Back in my day.
Fuck that guy. He should. I pray that he gets chordo every day. Fuck that guy.
Fuck his digestive tract.
So this hell is, yeah.
This is the night of the overdose, right?
Yeah.
Mia Wallace?
Oh, well, no, because I couldn't do the scab. Like the scab blood, but I was trying, yes.
No, it looks cool. I like it. Sorry, I'm playing catch up.
It's all good.
If it was that scenario, I could kind of understand because being made, I'm not saying she's wrong. Nothing like that. All I'm saying, if it was that kind of a scenario, like in being made an officer, I'm supposed to step up, but it's so hard because I'm such the bro that like, it's almost like I have to say, hey, my boss says for you to do this. So it doesn't come off like all of a sudden I'm just telling people what to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But still, it shouldn't matter. It comes down to being a decent human being. Like, she fractured a vertebrae and she dislocated a rib. How much time do you need off?
No, I didn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On her Instagram story, bro. Like, I went out and I saw her Instagram story. She posted a consultation that she had with her doctor with showing the x-rays of her fractured vertebrae and her dislocated rib, you know? So that's what I mean.
Is this the main reason she's done or was done?
That's why she stepped away. And, yeah. And it was one of those things where it was, oh, you need to come back to work ASAP or else we're going to have to fire everybody on set and everyone's going to lose their job, which makes sense because if you guys watch the Crisis on Infinite Earth, you can see that she's very stiff in her acting. Yeah. She doesn't move her neck very much. You know, she's constantly, you know, you can tell she's very stiff because she got hurt prior to the Infinite Crisis, you know? So it was, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I saw an article where the WB, if you try to stream it off of the CW, they completely removed all her parts from Crisis on Infinite Earth.
No shit.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they completely removed all of her parts on there.
Do you think they did that so that she doesn't get any fucking royalties from it?
Probably.
Wait, probably. But she had a really big role with what's his
face? I know, with Kevin Conroy.
Conroy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Would they have pulled all that? That's crazy.
I have no idea, dude.
I want to watch it.
I mean, that, I think, I know, right? It's just to kind of see like how it was edited.
Yeah.
You know?
I just saw her with Benoist. And it's funny because it was almost like, you know how fucking Bruce just like, I know you can kill me in 0.1 second, but I'm still fucking
mad.
Like they had that scene, so funny. Anyway, but yeah, that sucks, man. And she was fucking amazing in John Wick. Like she probably would have been awesome action wise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she was a good actress on Orange is the New Black too.
She was fantastic in Orange is the New Black. So,
and they lost star power too.
What's that?
They lost star power too.
Oh, yeah. I agree. So,
yeah.
So it looks like there was a screenshot or a photo of the Munsters that ended up dropping this week. Did you guys end up seeing it?
Yeah. I did.
How does everybody feel about the Munsters so far?
Yeah, go
ahead, Andres. Go.
Did somebody, I don't know if it was me, that's why I'm saying it. Did somebody make the joke that Rob Zombie's wife was going to play Lily?
I believe it was, yeah. Because he puts, and if I remember your quote, because he puts her on everything, and even though she's not the best actress.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Bingo, bango.
Bingo, bango. I'll have what he's having. I agree. Bingo, bango.
It didn't look bad, so I'll watch.
Okay. But Carmen?
I like the set. The set looks pretty awesome. Don't laugh.
The actors, no, but the I'm set laughing. Was amazing.
I'm laughing because you're clearly looking for a positive. Like when somebody brings you like an ugly picture, and you're like, well, the sky's blue.
The frame's nice.
So yeah. Like you're looking.
Like, oh my God, is this an actual silver frame?
Good pick on the frame.
How cute is my baby? I like his outfit.
He's dressed to the nines, huh?
No, but let me get to it. Yes, I like the set just because that's the first thing that I focused on, the background. And then, you know, like I stretched the picture to see the actors. I mean, I'll watch it. Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, I guess. I mean, if there's nothing else on, I'll watch it. Luis?
Probably end up watching it. I have no expectations for it, but I'm looking forward to see what it looks like in action. I'll say that.
Oh, okay.
Like a trailer or something.
Yeah, I think we're a few months away from a trailer. So, I mean, we'll see. Ash?
I may not watch it in theaters, but I'll definitely watch it like the first week of streaming, probably the first day, but I probably won't. Like there's so many things out there that I would rather see. I don't know, but the set looked amazing. Even like when they were putting it together, even just
right.
Like, I grew up with it.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, like it was that and Adam's Family and Three Stooges and all that good stuff. So, like on the weekends, I can never remember this, but it was on Channel 5 and it was a Skipper guy and he would show that and I don't know, fucking random shit, Popeye. Anyway, but it's not like it. I would say if it was a Three Stooges movie, but they did that. So anyway, it's not something I'm going to rush to, but I will definitely see it just in my convenience.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So not to be a dick, but I saw a post where they were making fun of Rob Zombie's wife. They called her the Wish version of Lily Monster.
They showed the
original actress that played Lily Monster, and then they showed like I think they called her like the Amazon version, you know, of Lily Monster, and then they put Sharon. Is it Sharon? Is that her name? Sharon Moon.
Sherry
Moon right next to it. And then right under her, they called her the Wish version. I thought that was fucked up, but it was funny.
Maybe if they made her not it, not Cousin It, but like a side character and not fucking the main character. You know what I mean?
No, but again, just like Andres was saying, it's Rob Zombie. Of course, he's going to put his wife in there in a pivotal role, you know?
Well, I mean, fuck. All of us would do the same for our significant other, so...
I wouldn't.
But you'll have that hair, so there's a trade-off.
Bad for days.
Luis.
Sir.
Can you turn your head to the left and then to the right? Like all the way, like a mugshot.
No, because I know what you're trying to look at, and you're right. I do have my headset underneath my wig.
I didn't do that. I was actually trying to get a profile shot. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now I can finish tonight. Go on.
Gross.
Would it be all up in the hair?
So I've been.
I got that stick.
I've been watching.
Holding it together.
That's where I really was.
I've been watching Succession, which was Carmen's recommendation to Esteban.
Oh my god, that show's fucking amazing.
And I'm on episode 3 now.
Yeah.
Episode 3 or 4. And the Macaulay Culkin's younger brother got like the CEO role.
Mm-hmm.
And right. He's fucking when he like starts jacking off looking at the city.
Yep.
Like he's just like, and he like closes the blinds. He's just like looking down at the city. Like I'm fucking dying.
It's the whole like I'm king of the world shit as he's doing it. Like that's all you pictured.
The guy own you.
The next scene when he opens up the blinds and he's like wiping the white shit off of the glass. Like oh my god, I was dying. Anyway, back to you guys.
Fucking HBO. HBO always crosses the line, but I love it.
Oh, speaking of, if you guys small recommendation. Sure. The show You. I don't know if you guys are into
it. I've been seeing trailers on it. I've never seen it. I have no idea what the premise is.
You should definitely treat yourself. Yes. Season 3 aired last week, and I'm almost done with it. I've been binging that. It has Dexter vibes. That's all I'll say.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. It's really good. It's really good.
Right on. Okay.
Don't watch with the kids.
Noted. Thank you, sir. All right. So... next, what we got on our docket is delays for Marvel. It looks like Marvel is delaying their entire 2022 slate. So Doctor Strange, the Marvels, everything's being delayed. Honestly, don't know why they're delaying the films thus far. It's like I feel like there's something that they know that we don't know yet, you know. I mean, how do you guys feel about this whole, because it looks like they just pushed everything back for, to be quite honest, to hit the major summer releases, because Doctor Strange was supposed to come out in February. Now it's being pushed back to May, which is the start of the summer box office. So how do you guys feel about it being delayed? Like all the movies being delayed?
I'll kick us off. I don't mind it. If they need more time to prepare. Take more time to prepare. You can't rush art. I'm going to watch it when it comes out.
Well done. Quoting Toy Story 2. Well
done. Ah, I quote that a lot and nobody knows where it's from.
You can't rush art.
It's so true though.
I think I'll second Luis in that thought. I don't mind that the projects are delayed. And that's what the comment that you said, they know something that we don't. Maybe it has to do with like their Disney Plus projects and they're trying to coordinate them right. to the, you know, to their schedule. So I'm cool with it. Also, if it has to do with like safety in the workplace and them implementing, you know, like some of that stuff so that staff is safe and that, you know, testing or whatever. So it's all good with me. I don't mind.
Right on. Andres?
I don't know if they're doing it preemptively, if they think there's going to be a worker strike.
That's right. Yeah.
In case it happens, they don't have to worry about me. Deadline for it, they just push it back and they could get back to it comfortably. But either way, like everybody said, it's going to be a few months here or there, so it's not that big a deal.
Ash,
same. The strike thing makes sense. And two, being that they finished that big ass storyline that led somewhere, I mean, we don't want to. There's so many other things like DC has to catch up and all the independents. So like when they're going to hit us, they're going to hit us and we're going to be at the movie theater every other weekend or every month at least.
You're going to love it, aren't you?
Am I going to love the going every month?
Probably oh, hell not. Yeah.
Probably not.
All the money I saved.
I did like going to Venom 2, but I mean,
right on.
There's those vibes of those people that just... See, that's Venom. See, right here, like that's Venom. Like, watch, look what he's going to do.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that shit at the movie theaters.
I told you, Sharon. Watch. Okay, like that's Woody Harrelson. Like, but watch, he was in that other movie. Like, homie.
Shut the fuck up and watch the movie.
Or the people that try to do, like, to try to be funnier than the movie.
Oh yeah, I fucking hate that.
This is an open mic. This isn't a time to try your jokes. Like, fucking watch the film. Yeah,
that kind of stuff. I don't mind the crying baby. We all have fucking
for sure
themselves, and then
yeah,
you know somebody who does. So that's fucking expected. I'm fine with that. I mean, like, just don't take them to Chucky. But other than that, obviously cool, whatever. But
right on.
Just that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And especially like, you know, they have to. Coming out of quarantine, we have been quiet. So now you are going to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other than that.
Hey, I was going to ask you, did it feel weird going to a movie theater for the first time? Because I know
I honestly thought you were going to go smart ass question with that.
No, for real. I'm being genuine. I want to know because I haven't gone to the movie theater yet. You know, I haven't. So that's why I'm curious.
It honestly felt like no time has been.
Oh, okay, that's good. Okay.
The only difference is like the little mask business, but it's so part of our life now that. But other than that, like you know, you're still gonna get ripped off on a fucking pretzel and same shit.
Yeah, let me go ahead and get the pretzel with the soda and a large popcorn. $85, please. What the fuck?
Why is it specific? Why is there no change?
So we offer 0% loan for 6 months.
What the fuck?
And then they like with their little club cards and like it all add up and like, hey, a free fucking mini popcorn. All right, cool. Right. $87,000 here for a mini popcorn.
And the mini popcorn is like 4 kernels of popcorn.
There was my a hair. That was, swear to God, it was dinner. It wasn't like a pretzel you get, like, you know, when you go to
fucking... Oh, yeah.
This was like, I could have went to, like, some third world country and fed a whole family. Like, this was not... And it was, like, on my lap, and they had just
made it. Yeah, it was.
So, it was like a burning.
Gross. And it did it burn? Oh,
God. It was not good. But it was...
Should probably get that checked.
I can't take you serious at all with that fucking hair, homie.
I can't take you serious.
So we ended up getting news that The Matrix 4 has been rated R. Now, I know for a fact Ash is hoping for the obligatory sex scene that ends up taking place during an orgy where they're talking about robots. He's hoping that that happens in the Matrix 4. Luis, how do you feel about the Matrix Resurrection being rated R?
I don't care one way or another, as long as it's a good movie. I'm not saying I don't care for the orgy scene. I'd rather not have that. It's very awkwardly placed. Especially because it Reloaded came out so many years after Matrix did. And so I was all like amped. I'm there with my popcorn. Right. And then a cave orgy started. So that was
weird. You're like, my eyes!
I don't understand what's happening. And then it's like, oh, then you're going back into the Matrix. But if it's a good movie, it's a good movie. So...
the way you made it sound, orgy Matrix.
Yes. So that had nothing to do with the story, correct?
Orgy, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah. And here's a bunch of Smiths. I'm making fun of it, but that was actually a really great scene. And even though it looks like PlayStation 1 graphics, yeah. I argue that the choreography, the graphics do not, but the choreography was pretty legit.
Yeah, the choreography was, yes.
God damn.
Fucking twins. And then about the Matrix 2 is I respect that everybody had, like, Trinity saved Neo.
Mm-hmm.
And Morpheus had his big evil, which was the twins. Like, everybody had their own little story. Like, it wasn't, like, all mm-hmm. Neo, you know? It was cool. Yeah.
No, for sure. Carmen, how do you feel about the Matrix being rated R? And I think it was rated R for violence and language. So you get no sex scene, Louise. Sorry.
I'm excited to watch it. Yeah, no, I'm excited to watch it because, as you guys know, and I mentioned last time, I just watched all the movies.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's like fairly new to me.
Okay.
Don't shake your head at me in disapproval.
Dark City. Look up Dark City. Okay. Trust me. Okay. It'll be another.
It's okay. Okay. No. Okay. So, Carmen, you saw all three, right, with your boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay, so after seeing all three, how do you feel about The Matrix? I mean, you know, watching it and seeing going from the first one going all the way to Revelations, or, you know,
Revolution.
Revolution, I'm sorry, thank you.
Revelations is the new one, I think, right? Resurrection.
No, it's Resurrections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another R word, not that R word. You know what I mean? Reloaded. Right. God damn it. I'm going to stop talking. Carmen, what did you think?
Overall, I like the movies. Okay. Obviously, I like the first the best. I like the second. And the third is fine. you know, it's fine. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But having said that, it's a badass trilogy. I like the story. I wanna see what's gonna be of the fourth one. The fact that it's rated R for language and violence. It makes a difference because obviously it's right. gonna be a little bit more adult like instead of like, you know, graphics or whatever. I'm excited for it. Again, if I don't mm-hmm. know why anybody that's listening to us would not have seen all the Matrix movies, but if you haven't, I recommend them. It's kind of like those classic movies that you just, it's a must see, it's a must watch for sure.
Right. Okay. So being that you just recently saw them and they're fresh in your mind, how would you rank them? I mean, obviously we know how you feel about the third one. So would you rank the first one before the second one, or, you know, part two before part one, or how do you feel?
I liked part one mm-hmm. more than part two, just because of the experience I had with it, where, you know, like you're discovering the little crumbs that are leading to what's right. happening. Mm-hmm. And then like, I was that annoying person that kept asking, like, wait, what does that mean? Or like, mm-hmm. what's going to happen? Wait, but like, maybe that means that, you know? And it's like, somebody that already has seen the movie, it's like, you're looking at me like, OK, can you just wait? Like all of your questions are going to be answered. But I'm just the type of person when I try to solve a puzzle before, you know, like everyone or whatever. And I guess this is the competitiveness of who I am. So that's why I like the first one. I did like the second one because it offers more answers to the first one. But right. I just like the journey that I took on the first one of like, this is a new story. It's like a new, it's kind of the way I feel about like crime stories or like crime mysteries, okay. Where like, you know, you're like, you don't know what's going to happen or what turn you're going to take, but I don't know. I like it. I, so that's what my rating would be. And that's the reason why.
Right on. Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, that's valid. I mean, the first Matrix came out in 99, you know, and I think it still holds up,
it does.
Yeah. I think it still holds up, you know? So I can't wait to see, honestly, I can't wait to see the next one because I know the third one was kind of like meh, you know? So I want to see if they not fix it, but kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of like, wipe the slate clean with it. You know what I mean? Do you guys expect with this new Matrix, do you think that like it's done after this one? Or do you guys expect like another set of trilogies after that?
I'm going with done. I'm hoping they go the route of Days of Future Past, X-Men.
Mm. Okay. You
know, where it's just kind of like a nice little bow at the end. Like, that's what I'm waiting on.
What about you, Andres?
Do I necessarily think it's going to be a trilogy? No, maybe another sequel. I'm assuming they're going to wait to see how this plays out and then right. go from.
Okay. Right on.
It'll probably be.
Huh?
No, no, I was just, they'll probably write it with the ability to make a sequel out of it. And if it ends there.
Okay, cool. Ash.
Same. I mean, if they're just going to tie a bow and why is this is done? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it could be as easy as remember he went to that God robot.
Right. Yeah.
What if he kept one Smith alive in case you ever fuck me over? Or what, like maybe not wipe the slate clean, like, hey, don't pay attention to that, but mm-hmm. kind of make it as if this is the fourth one, as opposed to trying to clean it up. Just make this the fourth one and make it all make sense.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're trying to go for, is they're trying to make it like the fourth movie in this series. Because it seems like because they're bringing back a few of the actors and actresses from the first, second, and third one, you know, we're going to see, you know, certain things that we haven't seen yet. Like, for example, if you guys remember is it the third one where he meets the little girl? I think it's the third one where he meets the little girl. Am I mistaken or is it the second one? Which Carmen, do you remember? I know you recently saw it.
No, I think it's the third one.
The little monk? The monk girl?
Yeah, the little girl. So they actually got her, the original actress, to come back and reprise her role in the fourth one. And they're saying that she is the new Oracle. So I think that's pretty cool. I know that came out in the news, in like geek news and whatnot, you know, that she's coming back to reprise her role, but she's now the Oracle. But from what I'm seeing is just like in the second one where he met the creator, you know what I mean? It's just like he kept on reiterating like his predecessors, Neo's predecessors, like he's different from the ones before, prior to him and things like that. So it's like, I think this is going to be another Matrix, another rebuild, another telling of the tale, because we already saw what happened with the original, the other Neo that we saw. It's kind of like seeing where's this Neo gonna go, you know what I mean? So I think that's what I'm kind of interested in, and why I want to see it, why I'm a little stoked by it, is because it, knowing that there were other iterations of the Matrix and other iterations of Neo, maybe this Neo will do things differently. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking. And lastly, let's go ahead. Huh?
The Alec Baldwin news? Is that old to you guys?
No, no, it's not old.
He discharged a prop gun that killed a crew member and injured director on the movie.
Yeah, that was.
Saw that already? Oh, okay. Yeah, never mind. Sorry.
didn't want to bring it on a downer, but okay.
I didn't know you knew that. I thought it was
like, no. It's cool. Yeah, no. And what Ash is referring to is it was breaking news on today, on what happened today. You know, Alec Baldwin on the set of his new movie, he ended up firing a prop gun, which discharged essentially shrapnel that discharged shrapnel. Hey, Luis was saying that I sounded like Adam Sandler, so you know.
Yeah, that's
sorry, that's an insane shows no mercy. He fired a prop gun that discharged shrapnel and accidentally killed the cinematographer and injured the director of the movie. So our hearts and prayers go out to the families to this tragedy. Obviously, this is not the first time that this has happened. It's happened on a few movie sets. More notably, the movie set The Crow that happened. That's actually what killed Brandon Lee. If not a lot of people did not know that, there's a specific scene in the movie where he's interacting with the character Funboy. That's what ended up happening. Prop gun was fired, discharged, and shrapnel was shot into Brandon Lee's chest, which caused him to go ahead and die. So our hearts and prayers go out to the family of the cinematographer. We hope that the director has a speedy recovery, and it's an absolute tragedy when things like this happen. You know, it was a prop gun. It's not like it was intentional or anything like that. It was just a freak accident that happens. And a lot of people don't realize that it happens more often than you think, you know, which is why they have so many prop, people on set to verify and make sure that nothing like this happens. But unfortunately it happened, you know, it sucks. And again, like I said, our hearts go out to the family of the cinematographer that passed and the director that was injured in the accident. So moving on to the last comment. Did you know that Charlie Cox will fight you if you go ahead and take the role of the new Daredevil? That's dope, right? Like, he legit said, I will go down to my basement, find the Daredevil helmet, and I will fight whoever ends up trying to go ahead and take the role of the next Daredevil in the MCU.
That'd be funny if Marvel's like, wait a fucking second, you have a fucking helmet?
I know, right? I thought we ended up selling everything, you know, and I think that's fantastic because it shows the love that he had for this role.
Dude, that role is made for him. He's so good in it.
Steve Amell had that kind of love until something. I don't know if it was the movies that didn't go on with him but he had that up until recently.
I mean, For Stephen Amell, I think it was just, and I mean, Luis, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you were a diehard Arrow fan from beginning to the very end. You know, were there a lot of like complications, but issues with on set, you know, with the showrunner and how maybe Stephen Amell wanted to go ahead and take the story and how the WB wanted to go ahead and take the story?
He's very PG with it. He doesn't really disclose that kind of stuff. Like, he's just very like, oh, you know, we like this. Like, he's pretty vocal about not understanding why people didn't like season 3 versus season 2.
Right.
There was something that an interview I saw with him recently, within the last couple months, right before Heels, he's like, I'm always trying to do what the fans want. And everyone loved the end of season 2 with the Deathstroke. So, like, all right, let's build it up higher. And we got Damian Dark took over the city or whatever. And then not too many people liked it. And he's like, but we did more, you know? And so then him and the direct, like, and so they was just like constantly trying to make it better and bigger and stuff. So, but no, he's always been pretty PG. He's a smart businessman. He makes face with the fans, but he never talks shit on the studio or anything.
Okay. Right on. Yeah. It was just weird because it seemed like a very falling from grace type thing with Stephen Amell and the WB. You know what I mean?
Great.
But I mean, knowing that, and I think, I mean, speaking for myself, but I think everyone on this show can agree that Daredevil was by far the greatest Netflix Marvel show to date.
By far.
You know,
it was gritty. It was realistic. It was really,
right. Really good. And the mere fact that Charlie Cox is saying, I will fight you for this role, you know, because I think to him, he feels that he's not done telling Matt Murdock's story. You know what I mean?
Him and Bernthal, man. They need to come back.
I agree. I think they have to, you know, and I think even Christian Ritter needs to come back as Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I think Jessica Jones was an overlooked character. I think the writing kind of dropped off a little bit, you know, in the last season, but I think she did really well as Jessica Jones, you know. I mean, Andres, what do you think about the whole Charlie Cox and his statement saying that he'll fight the next Daredevil?
Since everybody already said that Daredevil was the best of the Marvel shows, I agree. That was my favorite. And as you guys said, the mere fact that he said that proves how much he loves that character and is willing to don the costume again. So that's all
here. Right on. Carmen, how do you feel about Charlie Cox?
I don't know what you guys were talking about. I think Iron Fist was the best show.
Oh my God. I swear, Carmen, if you're if you're serious, oh my God.
What? Fight in the parking lot. Fight in the parking lot.
I will fight you, Carmen.
I'm sorry, but like when you have to remind me that I'm watching Iron Fist over and over again, how could that not be the greatest show ever? I agree with all of you. I think that role was very well portrayed by him. I don't think that we got enough seasons of the show. I think there was a lot more story to tell.
Right.
It was a very well done show. Mm-hmm. I know that they were all supposed to work with each other. All the shows, you know, they were supposed to be integrated. The portrayals that you did mention, Jessica Jones, John Bernthal as Punisher, I think those three were the best ones out of the bunch. And I would love to see them reprise their roles again. I don't think that we were done with those characters. Mm-hmm. Whoever dares to take that mantle, they better not, because that's his. You better not take it.
Right on. No, yeah, right on. I mean, if a lot of people don't know, you know, people that are listening to the podcast, if a lot of people don't know or haven't seen Daredevil, episode 1, I think it's season 1, episode 3, if I'm mistaken, 3 or 4, the hallway scene. Yes. The hallway scene in the very first episode. Here's a fun fact. If you guys did not know, that hallway scene, that entire scene that you are watching, was shot in one shot. It was one shot. There was no cutting. It was all one shot. So for those that don't appreciate Daredevil, how dare you? And secondly, one shot. And you know what? The best part is Charlie Cox was able to do it again in season 2 with another fight scene. Did it again in one shot.
And then he did it one last time.
Season 3.
The fucking prison scene.
Charlie Cox is the fucking man as Matt Murdock and the Daredevil. Ash, yes.
Time with Defenders. Remember that it all led into a different fight.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's going to be on Netflix for forever. You know. So if you guys have not seen Daredevil, watch Daredevil. Watch The Punisher.
Won't go over to DC. Sorry, to Disney.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to go to Disney Plus, for a while. Surprisingly, did you guys know that in Australia or the UK on Disney Plus they have Logan over there overseas?
Oh no!
On Disney Plus, they are showing Logan.
Oh, that makes sense though, because they acquired 20th Century Fox.
Right. Yeah, it's on Disney Plus, but it's just kind of like, what the fuck, Disney Plus? Why aren't you showing it in the US?
It's funny that with all the licensing shit, how complicated it gets. Like, right. a little fun fact about Marvel. Disneyland is the only park that will have Marvel characters, because in Orlando, where Disney World is, Universal Studios has the rights to Marvel property. And so until they relinquish it, Disney World can't tap into it. So that's where they're having California Adventure being like Stark Tower and all that with Spider-Man.
The whole Avenger campus.
Yeah, so because there's a Spider-Man ride in Universal, and there's a Hulk roller coaster, and there's all kinds of stuff, which is pretty exciting. It's just interesting.
I like Disney being on board with not only main characters, but like fucking Captain America Zombie is fucking dope. Like, I mean, at Disneyland, and it's not like, you know what, I don't know. Even if they do that as like the Nightmare Before Christmas Haunted Mansion, even if they do that, like he only comes out and make it special like in October, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
No, yeah, for sure. All right. So that's going to go ahead and wrap it up for episode 55 of Comics. So
Daredevil was great too. Thanks for asking. I also like that everybody had a story arc, and like Foggy story arc, like, I can't believe you're Daredevil, to having his back, to thinking he's dead and felt betrayed, and then Paige, Paige having to getting little clues that Matt's still alive. Like, everybody had, like, again, like the other thing, a big story, like a like an arc. It's not like, hey, what's going on today, boss? Like, it wasn't like a fucking weird, the story's with you, you know what I mean? But yeah, so I'm glad that he loves his character that much, and people that love their character that much. And I do apologize for interrupting a lot. I miss a lot of the show, so I'm trying to make up for that. But people love their character that much makes us love them.
Oh,
that
for
much.
Sure.
That's all. You're good.
Absolutely. Does anybody else have any closing comments for Charlie Cox? No? All right. So episode 55 coming to a close. This is our Halloween episode. We appreciate you all. We appreciate you guys watching, listening. Share us, like our videos, share with a family member, comment. We love it. Just like Louis says, it costs nothing to you. It means everything to us. We appreciate you all. Okay. So from Esteban and everybody here at Comics, we want to say thank you for everything. And Comics, we are
everywhere.
Thank you guys. Good night.
Good night.